And good morning. Welcome to From the Stand. We're live at the Ron Scott Communications Center, and this program is supported by the Commemorative Air Force. The CAF's mission is education, such that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit the CAF tent on the southeast corner of Boeing Plaza, or visit them online at commemorativeairforce.org. Speaking of the CAF, we're going to talk with Philip Beagle from the CAF Dixie Wing about a painstaking restoration of a rare P-63 King Cobra and visit with the granddaughter of one of the original WASP Women Air Force Service Pilots, sort of in celebration of Women Venture Day. And I am extremely honored right now to welcome our first guest. This is the Secretary of the Air Force, Heather Wilson. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Steve, it's great to be with you.
My goodness, as we were talking just offline, you're the highest ranking person that we've had on the show in all these years, so welcome.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
And you were just recently confirmed by the Senate for this position just a few months ago. How's it going so far?
Well, so far, today is a lot of fun.
Good.
No, it's great. It's great to be back with Airmen. I am, as you and I were talking, I'm actually a third generation Air Force. My grandfather was in the RAF in World War I and then came to America and was a barnstormer and opened little airports all over New England. And then my dad was a flyer as a teenager and then was enlisted in the Air Force. He was a crew chief on the F-84 fighter jet, and then he was a member of the Experimental Aircraft Association. After he got out of the service, he built experimental airplanes and was a commercial pilot. So I grew up around aviators. So this is a great day.
Excellent. You mentioned the design that your dad built. It was one that I was not familiar with.
Well,
so
it's
a true home built.
It was a PJ, is what I remember him call it. So he built it inside our house, like a lot of like a lot of people around here will understand. My mother was a very tolerant woman, and but it was an experimental open cockpit biplane. It had a 260 horsepower engine in it. I remember that, and was, you know, wooden fabric. Looked a little like a Great Lakes,
okay.
I guess, but there's probably, I think his was the 17th or 18th of the design.
And as I said, a true home built. I mean,
I remember he, in fact, on my desk, and I've had it on my desk for a long time, and I was a president of a university before, but I have a picture of him. They built the jigs to build the ribs to build the wings, you know, and I have a picture of him working on a rib for that airplane. And to me, the message to me from my dad is be a craftsman at your work. No matter what you do, be a craftsman at your work.
Wow, great inspiration, great legacy as well. Yeah. And you are a pilot yourself.
I am. I wasn't an Air Force pilot. I went to the Air Force Academy.
Right.
And served as an officer in the Air Force until 1989. But I am a private pilot, and I have a little Cessna 152.
Oh, that's okay. Cessna 152 is a great airplane.
Well, now I'm the Secretary of the Air Force, and there are 5,500 better airplanes around, but I can't fly any of them. So,
if you could take one home from here? Do you have a favorite that you might want to tuck in the 737?
Now I think today I've seen a lot more new favorites, but I'm kind of partial to the Vans RV7A myself.
Oh, yes. Saw a beautiful 7A owned by our very own Rob Ryder last night, so it's parked here. Maybe you can get him to give you a personal tour.
It's one of the guys who's a kind of a friend of a friend here showed me his RV7A this morning and got to sit in one and things. And I've seen him out on the ramp at Rapid City, which is where I came from, but they're a nice little airplane.
They certainly are. Now, this you mentioned is a bucket list item for you coming to Oshkosh.
Bet. It is. I think my dad came to Oshkosh once. I grew up in New Hampshire, but I think for anybody who loves general aviation and loves innovation in aviation, Oshkosh is one of those things that you always want to go to. And for the Air Force, innovation, and of course here for us, it's celebrating the legacy of aviation. The reason that I was here last night was for the dinner for the Doolittle Raiders. This is the 75th anniversary of the Doolittle strike on Tokyo. And that electrified the nation and really showed the Japanese Empire that we were going to stand and fight. So I'm going to try to stay. I hope the B-25s can get off tonight. So we're celebrating the history of the Air Force and aviation innovation, but also trying to work with organizations like EAA in inspiring the next generation to serve their country and to pursue aviation.
You had dinner last night with Dick Cole?
I did. It was a pretty amazing evening. He's 101 years old. He's the last living Doolittle Raider. And when I was a cadet at the academy, you walk by this case. It's a handcrafted wooden case, and inside are 80 silver goblets with the name of each one of the Raiders on it, and a bottle of 1896 Hennessy cognac. And every year the Raiders would get together and they would toast the others, and they'd turn over the goblets for those who passed away. And the plan was that that when they got down to the last two, they would open the bottle of cognac and toast the others. And it's about the fellowship of aviators and about doing things that nobody thought we could do in the defense of this country. And the bottle is open now, and Dick has the last goblet that's standing upright. And so last night I was able to toast the Raiders and Dick Cole.
Amazing. One of those experiences that only happens here at Oshkosh. So we're glad that you are here, and hopefully this won't be the only time that you can make it all the way back to the Midwest to enjoy the camaraderie that is EAA. You mentioned the Air Force Academy and the Raiders. The legacy of the Air Force Academy is carried through your career. When you were in high school, that was about the time that they started having women accepting female applications for the academy. So as some of the first females to go through, what was that experience like?
Well, I was in the third class with women at the Air Force Academy, and I grew up in a family of aviators and aircraft builders and aircraft, airport operators. And so nobody ever told me I couldn't do that. And in fact, when they opened the Air Force Academy to women, I did go talk to my grandfather. My dad died when I was young, but my grandfather was still alive. So here's a man who had started flying shortly after the Wright brothers and had flown in two world wars, and it had the first cinder patch he was operating out of is now Logan International Airport. And so he had grown up with aviation, and I went to talk to him about it. And my grandfather had two sons, and he had five grandsons and me. And I talked to him, and I remember he got real quiet, and then he said, I flew with some Wasps in World War II, and they were pretty good sticks, so I guess I'd be okay. And so, with his blessing and a full ride scholarship, I became the first person in my family to go to college, and I went to the Air Force Academy.
Amazing. What kind of advice do you have for young people who might be listening today who are thinking, well, I'll never qualify for the Academy? What do you say to them?
Don't say no to yourself.
Okay.
There are a lot of opportunities and doors that opened for me in life that I never knew were there. And maybe somebody came along and said, you ought to try this. You ought to think about this. There are tremendous opportunities out there for young people. Work hard, get a great education, take the hardest math and science that you can, and give yourself an opportunity to learn to lead, whether that's in the Future Farmers of America or the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts or student government or the band. And then apply. But the academy is not the only way to get into aviation. There's the National Guard, and Wisconsin National Guard has some great units. Our recruiters are here today, and a lot of people don't know that that you come into the Air Force enlisted. Most of our enlisted corps also now have bachelor's degrees. Many of them have master's degrees. We are one of the most technical, innovative, fun places to work in America. Be an airman. And so our recruiters are here today, too. We're expanding the size of the Air Force. The Air Force is too small now for what the nation expects of it. But you've got a lot of opportunities in aviation if you want to follow the legacy of Hap Arnold and Jimmy Doolittle.
And that you are here, the Air Force is here this week, not only to recruit and to let young people know that there is a pilot shortage, that the Air Force is expanding. But there are so many other things that go around aviation. It's not just being pilots, obviously maintenance, maintainers, ground support, all those things that go into it. So there's a wide variety of careers there, but also celebrating the past, the 70th anniversary of the Air Force.
It is.
And the 75th anniversary of the 8th Air Force.
Yeah, you got 8th Air Force anniversary, the 75th anniversary of the Doolittle Raid, which EAA is really highlighting. We got the 8th, and then we've got the 70th birthday of the Air Force. So it's and you think about it, my grandfather started flying, as I said, shortly after he was in World War I. So airplanes were not very complex things, and he lived to see a man walk on the moon. This entire century, has been one of innovation in aviation. And it's up to us to just keep it going. It's a wonderful industry to be part of. It's a wonderful community to be part of. And a lot of the folks who are interested in aviation end up spending time in the Air Force.
Excellent. We're talking with Heather Wilson, who's the new Secretary of the U.S. Air Force, her first visit to Oshkosh, and so we're pleased to have you here. With the new technology, I know one of your key issues is STEM and STEM education.
Yeah. I was the president of a science and technology university before I became Secretary of the Air Force. I was the president of South Dakota School of Mines and Technology, which is similar to Michigan Tech or Missouri Rolla or Colorado Mines, so all engineers and scientists. If you look at the problems of the 21st century, whether they're, you know, aviation or whether they're in medicine or energy, they're all going to require more scientific and technical understanding than the problems of the last century. And so what was good enough for my father or my grandfather or me is not good enough for my kids or my grandkids. So we've got to have more of our students, more of our young people competent in science, math, or technology. And so if you're interested in aviation in any way, just keep taking the hardest math and science you can and think about being an engineer.
Excellent. Just a few seconds here before we wrap up, any final thoughts on the Air Force?
Well, I very much appreciate the partnership with organizations like EAA and others to help inspire people to choose to go into the air service, and it's a wonderful partnership. We've got some challenges in the Air Force. We've got to recruit more over the next 5 years. We'll be expanding again, so we've really got to appeal to the next generation of young people who want to serve their country in a way that just makes every day a great day.
Excellent. Well, we thank you for your service to the country, your Air Force service, and you also served as a congressman.
I did. Yes,
so you have served your country well and continue to do so. Thank you for being with us this morning. If you'd like more information about the recruiting opportunities within the Air Force, airforce.com, or just talk to any of the airmen who are here on Boeing Plaza, and they'll tell you how to get signed up and find out more about becoming an airman. You're listening to EIA Radio.